You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.ab.ca. Veteran in his first year, though, with the Green and Gold, was signed as a free agent back in February from the D-line, which has really picked up their play here the last month with way more sacks, way more pressure, way more disruption. Brandon Barlow joins us. Brandon, welcome to the show. First off, condolences. I know it's your first year in the organization, but to lose you, the owner, obviously a tough day for the entire team.
Yes, you know, we just were informed of the unfortunate news as a team from our staff, and you know, our hearts really go out to the family at this time. And you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of it's heartbreaking news to see, you know, someone who had such an impact on the Elks franchise. But I know his wife is looking to stand by him and his vision. So we're tremendously appreciative of her, and our hearts go out to the family at this time, of course.
Well, Brandon, obviously, you know, that, you know, there's different ways to get to use things as motivation, but I would think now the game in a few days here in Edmonton is going to be even more emotional.
Absolutely. I mean, like you just said, there's going to be fans turning out to this game. You know, it's already looking like it's going to be a packed crowd, and we as a team and as players are going to have an extra chip on our shoulder to go out here and represent exactly what this team stands for and what's identified, which is tough, gritty, hard-nosed team, just like our owner was.
Brandon, the defense has really picked up its play here in the last month, and you're especially the defensive line. You guys are just getting way more pressure, way more sacks. What can you pinpoint to maybe what changed from going to a team? Because you guys were having pressure, but you're just for a variety of reasons, like quarterbacks were getting away. They're not getting away anymore. What's changed?
You know, it's a lot of focus. I got to, you know, say that part of it is our defensive coordinator just doing a great job making sure that we're all on the same page. And, you know, our defensive coaching staff has been doing an amazing job, you know, coaching us to be more detailed with our assignments and with our ability to, whether it's disguising or certain concepts. And then also just, you can see how the team chemistry is starting to come into play on the field. You know, we're communicating better, you know, and it's next man up mentality, and it's been that way for a while for us. But, you know, I think there's no doubt that the chemistry we've built to be able to sustain despite, you know, that next man up mentality, it's really a credit to other position groups and our coaching staff as well that's helped the D-line have success. So, you know, I got to give, you know, the other parts of the defense around me props for, you know, the great job they're doing.
You mentioned, you know, J.C. Sherritt and how the defense is called. Like, J.C. is a rookie DC in the CFL. He's called plays before, but everything at the pro level is a little bit different. Just like some players, it takes some time. What have you seen maybe just in the change from your defensive coordinator and how he calls the game?
I think something that JC's done a great job of throughout the season, as you said, it's his first time being a DC here in Edmonton with us in the CFL, but something I've noticed he's done is he likes to base his defense around his personnel. And I've noticed that throughout the season, he's found some of the strong points of our defense from a personnel standpoint. And he calls it based on the strengths of, you know, our defense. So, you know, he recognizes where our strong points are and he capitalizes on it. And that's a good credit to him because, you know, that's also a matter of having great coaching to be able to bring the best out of ourselves as well.
Brandon Barlow joins us, defensive lineman for the Green and Gold. And Brandon, your team, man, you played really well for long stretches of both of those games in Toronto and Hamilton. And you can make a strong argument your team should have had a better fate, probably in both games, if we're being honest. But pro sports, that's not how it works. It can be ruthless and devastating. How difficult is it, you know, to lose both of those games when you play that well? What's kind of been the, you know, the rallying cry to ensure that you don't get down as a group despite playing well?
Yeah, you know, I told the guys, football is a humbling sport. It really is. And it's a game of inches. You know, these are lines that we've all heard. And, you know, not to sound cliche about it, but it's true. So at the end of the day, you got to put your hard hat on and go back to work. And that's really what this organization and this city represents, and that's what we need to represent too. You know, it's not about how many times you get knocked down, it's about how many times you get back up and keep fighting. And we certainly have that mentality going this week, that we're always going to get up and keep fighting, learn from our mistakes, and be better and finish out those games and go that extra inch, that extra yard.
Brandon, always like for new players, for fans to get to know them a little bit. You know, I know you went to Shaker High School. Where is Shaker High School?
Shaker High School is a high school in Latham, New York. That's where I was pretty much born and raised.
Okay.
And I give credit to Shaker High School because that's really one of the major foundations of my football career, where I learned how to, you know, adopt an excellent work ethic and just be a student of the game and embrace the grind. So that's my roots. That's where I'm from.
And then, of course, you went to Boston College, redshirted as a freshman like a lot, and then had a very good career. You also were named ACC All-Academic Team in 2018. So was that something instilled from your parents? Like, hey, you can play football, but school is just as important.
Yeah. You know, from an early age, I knew I wanted to be a football player.
Okay.
My dad was a football player as well, so I was really raised in a football family, but something that my parents emphasized and something that I continue to emphasize to any young athlete aspiring to be great is that it starts with your grades. You know, you're not going to be able to go anywhere with sports without the grades first. So that was always something emphasized to my family.
What'd you take in college?
In college, I got my undergrad, I got my bachelor's degree in communications, and then I got my master's in project management.
Okay, so project, when you're done playing football, what would be the ideal job for you?
That's a great question. You know, I like to keep my options open, but, you know, there's a lot of different avenues I feel as though I can go, whether it be getting into coaching, getting into broadcasting with the communications major,
yeah,
or maybe getting into some sort of project management position whether it be like maybe construction or something, where I'm still working in a team-oriented environment, seeing that I've worked with teams my whole life, you know? So I like to keep my avenues open for whatever comes that day. But right now, my main focus is being the best football player I can be and going out here and winning against Saskatchewan.
Well, yeah, you're a young guy. You got many years left, so that's the advantage. You can kind of figure out and see what you want. Now, your father went to Auburn. Did he try to convince you to go to Auburn?
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I grew up a huge Auburn fan.
Well, I get it.
Watched all the Auburn growing up. Loved that Cam Newton team when they won the championship. So I did have dreams of going to Auburn, but I was raised in New York, so that's a long ways away. And then,
yeah,
you know, when Boston College came knocking on the door, it kind of just made sense. It was a good distance away from New York from where I was, but it was still close enough where my family could come watch me play easily. So, you know, that's the route I ended up going on, and it brought me here, so I think it was the right path.
Brandon Barlow joins us, a defensive lineman for the Green and Gold. And, you know, you've been in the CFL, I think this is year four now for you, Brandon. Did you know much about the CFL coming up here before you came?
I would say not too much, but more than your average person. My dad actually played in the CFL for a little stint back in the day. But I knew a little bit about it, not much about the rules, though, mainly. So I knew it existed, but it wasn't until I came up here that I realized, like, the rules were so different, because when you just see it, it's football, and then you realize, oh, it's actually three downs. There's a yard off the ball. You know, there's a bigger field. So all these little differences that make the game what it is, fast-paced, you know, high-octane game. But I've come to enjoy it quite a bit.
The yard off the ball, for an athletic guy like yourself, do you like it? Did it take, like, what was the biggest learning curve getting used to the yard off the ball for a D lineman?
It was a bit of a learning curve. It took a little bit of getting used to. I got pretty quickly oriented with making sure I was a yard off and not hugging the ball like I was used to down south. But I think the biggest change was just how it changes your angles as a pass rusher. You know, obviously down south, you're right there on the line of scrimmage. So you can kind of tweak your angles a little bit more. Whereas up here, it's like the angle and trajectory towards your approach to the quarterback is slightly different. And it makes a little bit difference with the timing of your steps and when you hit your moves, how quick you hit your moves versus, you know, having to close that gap before you hit your moves on this step versus that step. So it was a bit of adjustment, but that first year I got it down pretty quick with some good coaches that I had. So it was a solid adjustment.
Brian, looking ahead, you got Saskatchewan on Saturday, a huge game, virtually a must-win game when you look at your playoff lives. It's exciting for your team. When you look at film, what's going to be the key specifically to the D-line to get pressure on Harris? He likes to get rid of the ball pretty quickly.
He does like to get the ball pretty quickly. You know, when that happens, we got to have some awareness. If we can, get our hands up in throwing lanes, if we can, to help disrupt that. And then it's all about, you know, just getting there, getting home fast, getting off the ball. That first step is going to be crucial when you have a quarterback that likes to get rid of it quick. Obviously, Harris isn't the most mobile quarterback, so we're looking to, you know, get after him and keep him enclosed in that pocket and, you know, just create as much pressure and disrupt him as much and then just hit him as much as we can to help disrupt his mental. So I would say that first step off the ball, great get off, is going to be crucial.
Well, Brandon, great talking to you, man. Best of luck on Saturday, and once again, our condolences to you and all of your teammates on losing your owner, Larry Thompson, today. A pretty tough day for the organization, and so hopefully you guys go out and have a great effort for him on Saturday.
Thank you.